You ready?
Yeah, sure. Let's go for it.
Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl.
We're after today. We're peacing out for 2 weeks. 2 months. Two
Bye.
months,
2 weeks.
y'all. 2 months. Though,
I'm gonna
well,
no. No.
I mean, we are. The podcast, however, maybe in
Stay
two
tuned till
weeks.
the end.
Bye.
But then after that, not very, not 2 weeks.
No, 2 months.
I'm Mandy of Bonton, Louisiana.
And I'm Karen from Lupong. Welcome to the final episode before summer break.
The show dog is here. He's wearing his best Jurassic Park shirt for
His
Patreon. It's
tongue,
an
I
extra
can't
small, but
even.
it's too big.
Yeah,
So, like,
well,
my whole hand is in here because
it'll bitty.
he's extra small,
He is
but he's here
extra.
for now.
His little tongue hanging out. I can't even.
I know,
I
I
love him
know.
so much. In our timeline, it is May 29th, and in y'all's, it is June 6th.
It's the best month of the year.
We made it. We made it to summer. Yay!
It's mine and Adam Silvera's birthday this month. And you're hearing this. So.
Exciting stuff. Exciting stuff. This week in fangirling, what'd you do, Mandy?
a lot of doom scrolling. Still
Valid.
tired from being sick. Like, still so tired. Like, I just have like the lingering like throat clearing now, but I'm
Yeah,
like
but it's.
freaking drained,
Yeah.
which is so weird. We did watch the original cartoon Lilo and Stitch. I don't really want to hear anyone's opinions on the new movie unless they're a native Hawaiian at this point, because I saw a lot of white saviors on threads making a lot of claims and not a lot of islanders actually speaking.
Yeah,
So maybe we could bzzzt
I feel like
and let them tell
maybe I
us.
have curated my algorithm in such a way that I mostly see non-white people, which is great.
Lucky.
Which is so
Lucky.
lovely. But there has
I
been
just talk a lot of politics, so
yeah,
it's
there's been
the
a lot
vast
of
array.
I've seen a lot of conversations, and it because of my job. I have a lot of emotions. I have a lot of feelings about things that
Yep.
I'm seeing. So, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways, there's
Yeah.
that. I don't know if we're probably not going to see it in the theater.
I won't
We
see it
will
in
probably
theaters.
watch it to give it a chance and see, because I'm not going to say that I have a really strong opinion about something, but also everybody who should not have an opinion could just
Yeah.
and let people with actual ties to any changes made let us know what they think,
Yeah.
because they're more educated than we. So
They
that's
lit they
that.
have they've lived it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I finished The Survivor Wants to Die at the End by Adam Silvera. It's a third book.
Yeah.
I can't really tell you much of anything except for that Bucky the dog is okay, like Karen already let us know. It was good. Probably my least favorite of the three. The other two were just such an emotional gut punch,
Yeah.
where this one was like a long con gut
I
punch,
think
where the other
they,
two were like punch. This was
yeah.
like
It
gut
hits
cramp the
different.
whole time.
It hits
Yeah.
different, especially because it deviates from the original format and because we know that there's another book coming. I
Yeah.
feel like it definitely hits different than the first two.
Yeah, I'm still listening. I haven't gotten much further in because I haven't been really doing a lot where I'm listening to an audiobook. But I'm still working on The Knight and the Moth by Rachel Gillig. So I've met Sybil. She's a diviner. She sees prophecies, and she works and lives in this like church that's run by talking gargoyles. I was going to say it like the lady from Wife Swap. Gargoyles. Excited stuff. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Oh, it's this like real Southern religious lady who goes to like, I want to say they were like Wiccan
Okay.
families, like that she swaps. And she gets home and she like collapses as soon as she gets back to her house, and she just starts screaming, "Gargoyles, witches, dark-sided stuff!" And so, like, anytime any
Amazing.
like me, Josh, or the twins see any like a gargoyle, we're like, "Gargoyles, dark-sided."
Oh, that's
Anyways,
hilarious.
she works and lives in this church type deal that's run by talking gargoyles. She's traded a decade of service in exchange for memories of a home and like a life that she's lost, but that apparently was her lowest. She was living tragically, and so they've bequeathed her position and taken the memories of it. Where could that go wrong? So she and her fellow diviners have to like read prophecies for others, and it's super painful to do. And they allow them to predict things before they happen so that people can be better prepared to know if a cause is worth an outcome, etc. One day, she and her sister diviners are all out when a group of men show up, including the king and this knight that is rude, hot, kind of a heretic. And he does not give a fuck about her visions, anything. Well, then her sister diviners start disappearing, and you'll never guess who's available to go on a journey with her to help find
Oh
them.
God, I can't imagine
Not
who it could be.
Rory.
Cannot possibly imagine.
He wears eyeliner and he's shaggy haired and has a lot of earrings. So, like, give me that.
Yeah.
Give me that right now. After we watched Lilo and Stitch, Josh put on the first episode of True Blood,
Oh my
and
God.
he's like, "I'm probably gonna regret this." And I was like, "You're not for a couple of seasons, but then you're gonna remember how bad it got in the end." And he's like, "Yeah." So we watched a few episodes of True Blood one night for like on a long weekend just for something to do. And like I read all the books before there was True Blood, just like with Outlander, like all the books that were out at the time, because my job at that time was literally copying from this list to this list by manually typing all day. I blew through audiobooks back then. And one of them was the Dead After Dark series. Josh and I were Sookie and Sam one year for Christmas, for Halloween. And we even made Georgie a little Merlot's shirt, which is kind of a spoiler, I guess. But yeah. Then I've been kind of doom scrolling while he's been more invested in this, but he's been watching Walker, the
Okay.
Walker Texas Ranger reboot. High drama, very cheesy at times. I have to call it out on a few things. Like they live on this ranch, like this family ranch, right? Not a single dog on a Texas ranch. You don't have a ranch dog.
That's
You don't have a hunting dog when y'all are out trying to hunt a turkey.
that feels wrong.
Fake.
That feels wrong.
Seems fake. So Jared Padalecki is the star. So there are a lot of supernatural Easter eggs that are really funny. Like that people will say, like, the family business. And at one point, Kansas was on playing Carry On Wayward Son. So, like, yeah, it's they do it subtly but very loudly. If you're like a
Like, if you know,
supernatural
you
fan,
know. Yeah.
if you know, you know, you're like, oh my God,
That's
this is
funny.
it. I have still struggled to physically read. I'm just tired, I'm drained. I had a migraine
Bet.
yesterday. Like, it's been a lot. And the weather re has been really shitty here, so I've just been wanting to nap all the time.
So valid.
But I did start the Show Husband's Business Partners book. So the Shane Pittman, the book is called Hope on the Other Side of Pain, Grief, Grace, and Ghosts. So it's a memoir of Shane's story, starting at 3 years old. It outlines some pretty awful abuse and trauma as a child. Southern dads, man, and then finding healing in spite of it all. It's really good so far. I've just been struggling my attention span and being so tired to physically read anything.
Yeah.
So I'm going through it slowly, but it's good. And the show husband is in the acknowledgments, so that's cool. And that is pretty much what I did this week. I hung out with George Bailey and doom scrolled, and I started some fights on Threads. because I said I still kind of stand by it. I don't think red velvet should be called a flavor because
It's
orange
red velvet.
creamsicle isn't a flavor, or it's the flavors are orange and cream. But I thought I was just kind of joking. Apparently, there are diehard
People have
red
very strong
velvet.
opinions about red velvet, and I'm
Like,
over here like, is
it's
chocolate
not
with
that
red
good.
dye? It's not that good. I don't like
It's
it.
not that good. No, no.
I
See,
like
I said it's like,
frosting. I like
I'm
the
like, it's
frosting that
chocolate
comes
and
with it.
vanilla. And they're like, no, it has to have the tang from buttermilk and vinegar. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to list out the entire recipe, Karen, bad Karen. Like, come on. Like, it was a two sentence
It was a
bread.
joke, y'all. I mean, you stand by
And
it, but like, it's
like,
like a, yeah.
people
It
were
was like a
like,
throwaway
what?
line. No, for me,
I was like,
I'm ready to
yeah,
get
yeah.
canceled for this bullshit. For me, red velvet is just chocolate that you've dyed red. That's
Yes.
all I got.
And see,
I'm
like,
not a fan.
because I was like, when does it stop? Is taco a flavor? Is King Cake, is He-Man Cake a flavor? Like, where? And somebody was like, oh, so you fundamentally don't understand how flavor works. And it was like, no, I do. But white people taco night tacos and actual authentic Hispanic made tacos are very different flavors.
Yes.
Taco is not a flavor, it's the flavors that you put into it. And like, I finally was like, you know what? You guys care a lot more about this than I do. Red velvet can be a flavor if you'll just stop adding me.
Oh my
Like, just
God.
stop
That's
talking
so
to me at all.
I'm dying. That's
Yeah. So
amazing.
that was like a full day of fighting with people about a freaking cake. And then the one lady was finally like, okay, well, I just am really big. She was nice about it. She's like, I'm just like a diehard for red velvet. And I'm like, that is the last cake I would reach for.
Yeah.
Other than coconut, I would never reach for coconut cake. But after that, red velvet, I don't like it that much. So I don't really care.
Yeah.
Whatever you say, if you love red velvet cake and you think it's a flavor, fine. I'll be over here with strawberry cake, which is superior. Anyways, that was my week. What did you do this week?
I blew through some audiobooks.
Yeah.
Like, girl, this list is ridiculous. Okay. So first of all, I finished Shield of Sparrows, which I finished this week, but I was like 80 something percent of the way through already. So like
Yeah.
that doesn't really count, but I did finish it. It is excellent. I don't need to explain the plot to you because we've talked about it for like the past three episodes. It's great. What the fuck was that ending? Give me the next one right now.
I know.
Like
Why is it not in my inbox, Debbie? Like,
I'm sorry,
why?
Devney, what are you doing to me? Our inbox is wide open.
Yeah.
Please
I know. We're gonna
come
have to
join
reach
us.
out to some our friend.
Yeah,
Our friend.
because yeah. First of all, I need the sequel, and second of all, I want to personally be like, Devney, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Fingers crossed. Manifest whatever you want to do. So that was Shield of Sparrows by Devney Perry. I listened to My Funny Demon Valentine and My Demon Hunter by our friend Aurora Asher, which are the first two books in her Hellbent series, which she originally indie pubbed. It is now being re-released with a traditional publisher with such beautiful covers and such beautiful stenciled edges. Amazing. Love it. Love that for her. So, My Funny Demon Valentine follows Asmodeus, aka Ash, who is a prince of hell and also a lust demon, except that he's been cursed to be basically invisible to anybody who is attracted to men. Like, he's physically there, they can see him, but they don't see him. Like, they don't. Like, he kind of blends into the background, kind of thing. Like,
Oh
they like
yeah. So
see
he's
him.
not, nobody's gonna be like, wow, hot
No,
stuff.
yeah, like he's hot. He's a hot demon, but like nobody sees
Nobody
that.
notices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's like, you know what? Whatever. I've been living with this for however long. All he wants, he's escaped hell with his brothers, and all he wants now is to just like play music, which is great, except, kind of hard since nobody can see him. So he just doesn't get
Oops.
opportunities, right? Meanwhile, you have Evangeline, aka Eva, who is this brilliant violinist, and she's just this normal human who just jams out at the jazz club and just, is living life and possibly hallucinating demons. So, but also she can see Ash, is wildly attracted to him, and is very confused because he's like the man of her dreams. But wait, did I hallucinate the fact that he somehow became 7 foot tall and red-skinned? It's a mystery. So
Oh.
lots of secrets and shenanigans ensue. Maybe a demon finds out how to love, and maybe a human finds out more about herself than she ever knew. And it's a raunchy, sexy good time. Then book two is My Demon Hunter, which follows, I'm not going to even try to pronounce his full name because I don't know how. He goes by Mist. He is like the hunter of basically hell, and gets sent off to find like demons who are doing things that like breaking the rules. Like, for example, Ash and his brothers who have escaped hell and are living among the humans. But he's also like, you know what? I've been doing this for a long time and it's getting kind of boring, and I see you. I see y'all living among the humans, and this seems interesting to me. So I'm gonna keep y'all a secret as long as y'all teach me how to live amongst the humans. And so he like is kind of like an outsider in the group, but they're like taking him in because they're like, anybody who wants to leave hell can be part of our found family. We support this. He meets Lily, who is a witch. And they hit it off, and but her sister is very overprotective of her and has cast like runes around her apartment, and so like when Miss comes over to Lily's for like a date, her she Lily texts her sister. She's like, "Hey, what does it mean when it turns red?" And her sister freaks out and comes over and is like, "That's a demon." And so they're grappling with demon and witch, but also feelings. Also, Mist is like subjected to this queen of hell who has like power over him and can call him back to hell whenever she wants. And if he doesn't respond, then he could die. And so they are bad. That's a whole thing. But again, another sexy, raunchy good time.
The sister reminds me, have you seen this video going around on social media where it's a group of girls that live in an apartment together, and one of their roommates is bringing home a boy for the first time. And so they have a round coffee table, and they wrap blankets around their heads, and they light a bunch of candles on the coffee table, and then they have something playing that's just whispers, and they're running around a circle when they open, like doing their arms with like their hoods, and the dude is like, if you haven't seen that, I will send it to you. It is the funniest thing I've ever
Sounds
seen.
hilarious. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That sounds hilarious. Oh my gosh, love it. Okay. Next, I did finish up Cat's Great Summer by Mima Tipper, which we talked about in depth last week, so I'm not going to go into it, but it was a fun time. It makes me want to go to
Love
Greece.
her.
I would love to have an
Yes.
actual summer vacation, and it's really rude that I don't get to do that.
Agreed.
Universe, come on.
WTF.
What more must I do for you to grift me this, please? I listened to Sophie Goes Lonely Hearts Club by Rosel Lim. Sophie is a matchmaker, and she went to matchmaker school in Shanghai. She got kicked out of matchmaker school for reasons, and now she is back in, I believe, Toronto, I want to say, and she is trying to, gain clients as a matchmaker so that she doesn't lose. This kind of goes back to one of the other books. I can't remember which one, but the matchmakers can see people's red threads. And so she doesn't want to lose this ability because if she doesn't get like certified or whatever by the Matchmakers Guild, then she will lose that ability to see it. And so she's like, okay, I'm going to get clients, I'm going to get testimonials, I'm going to reapply, and they're going to take me back, even though I didn't finish the school. And so she has, first of all, she's moved out of her parents' house. Her parents are awful. Her dad is fine, but her mom, she takes being an Asian mom in a really bad direction. Like, I know I complain about my mother and like because she's an immigrant and, you know, they have different like ideas of how we should be living life. Sophie's mom is, she takes filial piety to a whole new level, and I hate her so much. I spent the entire book hating her. There is no redemption for her mother, and God bless Sophie for being like finally being able to like stand up to her. But I digress. So she's moved out, she's in her own apartment, and she overhears this group of elderly gentlemen talking about wanting to get back into the dating scene. And so she like sneakily finds a way to like entrench herself into their group and is like offering her services and become like
Oh my
befriends them.
God.
It is the cutest thing. They are like all of the men are different. There's one that she gets really close with who is like the sweetest little old man. And then there's like a super grumpy one, and then there's like a widower, and then there's these like two of them are gay, and it's like it's the cutest little group of old men, and I loved it. It was so much fun.
That's precious.
And then I read Night for Day, also by Rosell Lim. This follows Ward and Camille, who are exes who have been exes for a little while, and they've reconnected. Like they both ended up in London for jobs, and they've seen each other. They've reconnected. They're like, we're gonna try this again. And then they each go to their respective new jobs and find themselves stuck. So Ward is working at this like jewelry shop, and he's like working, and then he's like, okay, I'm gonna leave for the day. Goes to leave and finds out like he can't open the door. He can't leave. There's no way for him
Oh
to
my
exit the
God.
shop. Meanwhile, Camille goes to her new job at like this little antique shop, and same situation. She can't leave. And so they
If
had
I
like,
got stuck at work,
yeah, right? I would
ugh.
hate it. Luckily, they like their jobs, but they soon come to realize that it's more than meets the eye. They are stuck in these jobs because of like centuries old feud between the gods, and so the gods are doing this like experiment with humans, and so Ward and Camille are stuck being the humans in this experiment, and they have like X amount of
Oops.
time to figure out what exactly is going on, in order to resume their lives, essentially, or
Oh my
get stuck
God.
here forever. It's so good. Like, it's so, like, I don't know how she came up with this concept, but I loved it so much. And the way that she was able to weave all these threads together, it's so good. Highly recommend it. And then I read The 7-10 Split by Carmen Lee. You have Ava, who is a school teacher, and she's just basically trying to survive at the school. She really wants to revive like the bowling club at her school, and has been pitching it to the principal, who is this white man.
A white
That's
man.
all I have to say.
No.
So
You had all you had to say was he's a white man.
he's a white man. That's really all I have to say. And so she's like, whatever, I will just suffer through another school year of this bullshit. Unfortunately for Ava, her former like best friend slash crush from back in high school, Grace, has returned to their small town of Peach Blossom, Georgia, and and is now teaching at the same high school, and is the new like science teacher. And the principal had asked Grace when she first came on, like, hey, do you have any ideas for extracurriculars we could do with the kids? And Grace had heard from like a colleague that Ava's been trying to get this bowling club back up. And so she's like, hey, I heard, you know, Ava's really wanting to do this. I think it's a great idea. And she thinks because she's heard, like, it's taken, this school moves as slow as like the county, right? It's taken 3 years for this one thing to go through. So she's like, oh, this is not going to happen. This is a suggestion. I can talk to Ava about it. We can come to him with a plan and all of this. Unfortunately for Grace, this white man decides to announce it at their first like staff meeting, like, hey, we're going to do a bowling club and Grace is going to be the head coach and Ava is going to be her co-coach. And Ava is fuming because she thinks Grace has just swept in and stolen her idea, stolen all of this, and is like mad. And so they sit down, they have a conversation, they're like, okay, let's do this. And so it's a lot of forced proximity because they're forced to work together for this bowling club, second chance romance. There's a group, their bowling club is a group of, girls who are like, do you guys like each other? And it's so cute.
Are you sure you don't?
It's so fun. I really enjoyed it. Then I read Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury. I don't have to say anything about it. It's great. I mean, it's
Don't you
terrifying.
think people should read that before they vote?
It's required reading. It's required reading for just existing in life. But yeah, so yeah. Mandy's talked about it on the podcast, so I'm not going to rehash it, but it's good.
Go read it.
Go
It's
read it
very
right now.
important.
Stop what you're doing, go read it, and then come back. It's so
So
quick.
important.
It's such a quick read.
Oh yeah, it goes by
So,
like an
so quick.
hour.
Yeah.
How that's called a book and not a short story, I don't understand.
Who knows? I read Rule of the Aurora King by Nisha J. Tooley, which is the second book in the Artifacts of Oronos series. So I can't tell you anything about it because it's book two. Other than it's excellent and the series is amazing and everybody needs to go read it. Talk about diversifying your bookshelf. Romanticy is in, so why not pick up a BIPOC romanticy, okay? That's all I'm gonna say. It's excellent. I also read Not Safe for Work by Nisha J. Tooley, which is her contemporary romance that just came out, which follows Triss and Rafe, who work for the same like engineering company. And Triss has been working there for like 5 years, constantly getting looked over for promotions, blah, 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 all of this. She's stagnated because she's a woman in a male-dominated field. So they're like, you know what? She can't possibly do that. Meanwhile, Rafe is a nepo baby. He's the like manager's son or the owner's son, whatever. He's a nepo baby, okay? They don't get along. Or is it something else? I don't know.
Uh-oh.
So this book is set in Hawaii because they are sent on this like leadership retreat to blah, 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 whatever. Everybody assumed that Rafe would get it because nepotism, but they also assumed that Roy, his cousin, would get the other spot because, again, nepotism. And so it's a surprise to everybody when Triss gets picked, including Triss, even though she's like, no, I deserve this, but she's also still surprised. So she leverages this, but she goes to like the boss and is like, why did you pick me? And they're like, oh, well, we think that you are. She's like, no, why did you pick me? And basically, they low key are like, we need to diversify our management team. And so she leverages this. She's like, I want to fly first class. I want my own suite. I want a new set of luggage, and I want you to pay for it. And she's like
Yes,
making all
ma'am.
these demands, and they're like, okay. And I'm like, go girl, we love it.
I love her.
I love her. She's amazing. So they fly to Hawaii. They are accidentally booked for the same suite, and oh no, there's only one bed.
Oh no.
Which I know we love
I
it.
love how in books that's fine, but like real
No, but
lawsuits.
like, yeah, that's what I'm like. I know we love it, but also what an HR nightmare. Could you imagine your company booking you in the
Sent a
same suite,
woman
a
to
woman
share room with a man.
in the same bed?
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
That's
wild.
a way to get sued.
Right? And so Triss is like adamantly calling the front desk every single day, like, is there a room available? Is there a room available? Is there a room available? Because she's like, I'm not having this. She detests this man or does she? And so over the course of this, I think it's like 3 weeks, they, force proximity, they learn more about each other, they get closer, things happen. It's a contemporary romance. It's, yeah, you're picking up. And the
I'm smelling
ending,
what you're stepping in.
my God, if you loved Triss before, when all of that stuff I told you, the ending, girl gets it, and we're here for it. We love it. Ooh, ooh, it's so good. So good. I would also like to shout out to Nisha because this book hit the USA Today bestseller
Oh,
list.
yeah.
So, hell yeah. Get it,
I
girl.
saw her on Threads.
Obsessed. Love it, love it, love it, love it. So good. Okay, almost done. I read Cinderella is Dead by Kaylin Bayron, as well as Sleep Like Death, also by Kaylin Bayron. So Cinderella is Dead follows is it like a Cinderella retelling-ish, kind of. So in this world, Cinderella is dead, has been dead for many years,
What?
but the story of Cinderella lives on, right? And we all know the story of Cinderella. She is, she lives with her evil stepmother and her evil stepsister. She finds her way to the ball. She falls in love with the prince, blah, blah, blah. They live happily ever after. That story is told throughout the kingdom, right? And now there is a ball every year, okay? And it's compulsory for girls of a certain age to go to this ball, and they get 3 tries at it. And if they don't get chosen, then they are like sent off to be like slaves or whatever, because apparently they're not good
Jesus.
enough to be chosen as a wife, so they're not good for anything other than being like slave labor or whatever.
Yeah.
It's bullshit, right? So you have Sophia, who doesn't want a husband. She's not interested in men. She wants to run away with this girl, Erin, who she's been friends with, who they kind of have a thing going on. And Erin's like, no, we need to follow the rules because if we try and run and it didn't work, we're gonna die. So they end up going to the ball. Before all this, so before the ball, Sophia meets Luke, who is like this neighbor boy. He's very sweet, and he confides in her that, hey, maybe you and I have the same kind of thing going on in which we don't meet the expectations of society, and is like low-key hinting at things. And she's
Yeah.
like, oh my gosh, there's other people like me that don't fit this mold of what society thinks. And it's very like hush-hush, but we exist, which is very cool and very realistic to real life, because it's like, how many
Yeah.
people are out there thinking that nobody is like them,
Yeah.
when in reality, here we are. And so Sophia goes to the ball. Luke had told her that he wasn't going to go and shows up at the ball. And she's like, what the hell? And he's like, I'm going to claim you so that we can mutually benefit from this, so that you don't like get shipped away or whatever. Things happen. Sophia ends up having to flee, where she meets Constance, who turns out is like a descendant of one of Cinderella's stepsisters. And so there's a whole revolution happening, things happening. It's a fun time. And then
Okay.
finally, Sleep Like Death is a Snow White retelling-ish, where you have Eve, who is princess and has been training basically her whole life in order to, if she were to ever come into like contact with the knight, she could kill him. She realizes she does have like a moment, and she realizes like, no matter how much I train, there was no chance of me ever killing him. Come
Yeah.
to find out, and the knight is very like, let's make a bargain. You make a wish, I get something from you if I grant that wish, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so she comes to find out that her mother made a wish from the night many
Oh,
years
shit.
ago, and it is now affecting her. And so Eve has to like leave and pretend to be dead. Essentially, they have to trick the knight into thinking Eve is dead.
Yeah.
And so it's think of the story of Snow White and E, you know. And so she meets this man and his children, and they all live into this home together, like hiding from the night. And there's a boy named Nova who is like a go-between the night and anybody who makes wishes. But also he's like, I'm being forced to do this. And it's a fun twist on the Cinderella story, or not Cinderella, the Snow White story.
Snow White.
Yeah, so fun time. And
Nice.
that was my week.
No, it wasn't.
Lots. Oh,
You did something
yes.
today.
I did, but we'll talk about it shortly. I did. I also read Celestial Banquet by Rosa Lim, and we will talk about that in a moment.
Do you have a fictional boyfriend to talk about this week?
I, you know what? No, because I'm feeling very like fuck this week. I'm like,
Yeah, fair.
I want to go hang out with Triss and like dismantle the patriarchy. Like that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to go hang out with Triss. So like my fictional bestie for the week. Like yeah, that's what I'm feeling.
I like it.
What about you?
I always hate men, but I don't hate Rory Mendacious because, again, eyeliner and he's got a smart mouth and he's sarcastic and witty and got piercings and hot. So Rory from The Knight and the Moth is
I feel
my
that.
fictional boyfriend this
Love
week.
that. Love it. I
Yeah.
approve. Co-signed. That sound means we have an intruder alert.
It's
I'm
an
so
exciting intruder
excited,
alert.
y'all. Today we are talking to Rosa Lim about Celestial Banquet. First of all, this cover, gorgeous.
This cover's insane.
So good. Thank you so much for being here. We are so excited to talk to you. So first things first, we usually ask, like, can you give us the elevator pitch of the book for anybody who hasn't heard about it?
Is Iron Chef meets Hunger Games that has a feisty noodle chef who competes to feed the gods, and there are mythical beasts involved and a lot of foodie culinary content.
Oh, yes.
So you had me at cooking competition for the gods. I'm waiting for Alton Brown or Gordon Ramsay to show up and like throw out an insult. But where did this story come from? Like, what made you want to write this, and like, where did the idea come from?
I love the old school Iron Chef episodes with Masaharu Morimoto and
Yeah.
Chen Kenichi, like all like just with the chairman, like the OG series in Japanese that I would read the subtitles, and I thought it would be so cool to have one that's like set with fantastical elements.
I mean, it's such a unique idea, but like, I didn't watch the originals in Japanese, but like, I grew up, I was in like a 80s baby, 90s kid where like you watched Iron Chef. It was Emeril and then it was Iron Chef. And it's so much fun. And so like cooking for the gods is just like, not like pun intended, chef's kiss. Like, that is perfect.
It's so fun. And this is, if I'm remembering correctly, this is your YA debut, right?
Yes.
So what made you want to make this story specifically for a YA audience, and why that shift from adult to YA?
I wanted to write a book for younger me, and I have a teenage daughter too. So it's like, oh, this is great. I can write it in YA, she can read it, and then she can tell me what works and what doesn't work. And so yeah, she was like the very first reader.
Oh, I love
I love
that.
that. That's so special to get to share that with her.
Yes,
That's so cool.
100%.
So what, how does your writing process change going from writing adult to writing like YA fantasy? Did it change for you at all, or?
It didn't. And the funny thing is that early in the process, I thought I had to change how I wrote. And I went that route and everything just went horribly wrong. And I'm like, no, 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 no. This is your writer's voice. Continue using your voice. It's
Yeah.
okay. There's just certain things that are obviously different, that like transit, some subjects and stuff
Yeah,
from adult to
that's,
YA.
yeah.
that makes
But it's
sense.
cool that your voice knows how how to speak and tell a story, whether you're telling a story for adults or for young audiences. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, and speaking of your voice, I feel like of I mean all of your books that I've read, they feel very like code like even though there are elements of like life and death, like it still feels cozy in a way. How do you find the balance between like the violent things that are happening and just this like cozy like oh, there's food and you can cuddle up in like a warm blanket and feel comforted?
You're right. It is definitely a balance because I wanted to insert so much adventure and fun into it because I was a really huge fan of the original Mummy series in the 90s. The one
But
with
not the
Brendan
Tom
Fraser.
Cruise.
No. The
I
one
saw
with
that on your
Brendan Fraser.
website. No Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Brendan and like Rachel and how wonderful that was. I wanted like something that like, and the thing is, I had to find that balance, right? Because you have danger, you have mortal danger. And a lot of, I find that when you are in that situation, yes, you process it differently than if you were a spectator, like reading it. Because if you're like,
That's a
let's
good
say
point.
you're not going through all of the perils, you're like, oh my gosh. But it's kind of like when you're sitting there and you're yelling and you're screaming at the girl going up the stairs when it's a horror movie. It's like, no, don't run up the stairs. That is like a bad move, right? But then like you kind of can, if you're put into her position, she's probably thinking like, okay, that's a pathway. I'm just going to take a pathway, but doesn't like examine everything.
Or her bedroom is upstairs, and that's her
Yeah.
safe
Right.
space. Yeah, I've never thought about it like that.
That is a good point. Yeah.
Oh man, you've just like rewired my brain to horror movies. Because I'm with you. I'm always like, girl, what are you doing? Go out the front
Yes.
door.
Leave.
Get the
Run. What
car
are you
keys. Run. But if she's going to her safe space, she's on autopilot. She's scared.
Yeah.
Oh wow. I'm gonna have to go tell my horror movie husband that he's
It's
to
kind of like that. It's
watch.
like when we're looking at it, right? We can sit there, pause the movie, and like spout a dissertation about the dangers of going to the next, like another story up where there is no exit, right? But then, like,
Yeah.
if you're living in the moment, you don't really have that, unless you're like a cyborg or something, you don't really
Yeah.
like have that ability to process like every single thing. It's kind of like when people are going, oh, well, the weapon is right there. Why can't she use a candlestick and smash it over, you know, like in a horror thing, right?
Right.
But then it's
Yeah.
like when you're put into that position, you don't know how you will act. Are you really
You
gonna
try.
do, are you really gonna play a game of Where's Waldo, like at the last
Right.
minute when you know, like
Yeah.
somebody's out to get you?
That is such a
If you
good
try to
point.
pause your moment to have the dissertation in your head, you're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've died.
That's so valid. Oh, wow.
Kind of related. I saw someone online that was talking about how much they love the book, and they were, and I, but what they said, I can't get it out of my head. They said they want it as a video game because they mentioned like it's fast paced but has narration. You have to like go find ingredients and explore. And then there's battles and like you fight an epic boss. And like, what a really cool video game it would be. Is that something that you would ever entertain? Is like seeing this story visually and like as a playable game?
That would be cool because I played like Final Fantasy, Witcher, Dragon Age, all of that. And like it's really fun. Like I am a gamer. I would definitely love, even if you add an element of like Fruit Ninja in there where you have to slice up ingredients, that would be fun.
Oh my God, yes.
You know what though? Like it's such a, like that's such a good idea, and your story is such a good idea that they would marry up so well.
Yeah.
Because the person said like you have to go forage and like explore the map while you're finding this specific ingredient, and then there's characters that they could have like a little side quest with, or you know, like you learn the lore by talking to the guy who's sitting outside of this, you know, one little building. Who just stays there? He's an
Yeah.
NPC, but like he can tell you little tidbits about the world.
That would be so fun. I never ever
And
think about like
beautiful.
books as anything other than like
A
film.
movie or a film.
Yeah, but like video
Right.
game, this would make such a good video game.
And you could play as a contestant, or you could choose your character,
Oh,
Or
I
you
love
could, you
this.
know, just have like an open world where you're like playing random other people who are trying to win the competition.
So fun.
Yeah, if it was me, I would totally just go out into the open world and just kind of. I'm like one of those like perfectionist gamers, so I would get every single ingredient and bat like Pokemon, catch everything imaginable before I actually get to the plot. 'Cause
I
that's how
love
I game.
it. That's how exactly what I do
I
too. Like that
know. My
is such
husband
a
has no
vibe.
patience to game with me. He's like, no, I'll do it. He does it like in sequence, like you're supposed to. And I'm like,
Yeah.
but flowers.
No.
I need to expand my backpack because I have
Yeah.
more stuff.
It is, because my husband's like, why are you sitting there talking to the fisherman's wife? You're supposed to save this. I'm like, eh, it's fine. They're on pause. We're good. I just want to know what this lady has to say.
And they're like, he's like, why aren't you spending your gems? And it's like, because I might need them later, more. I don't need this now.
Yes.
He's like, you can
Yes.
always get more. No, I can't. No, I can't, sir.
Oh my goodness. So you create well, there's a wor the world of the gods in this book, but you also create like mythical creatures as well. Where did you draw inspiration for some of the, I don't know if they come from actual lore, but like the creatures that you created in here, as well as even the gods themselves. Like, where did the inspiration for all of them come from?
For the mythical creatures, like the dragon, obviously the Pixiu and the lion dog, all of that exists in Chinese or
Oh.
Asian, East Asian folklore. But as for like the gods themselves, I wanted my alternate foodie equivalent of like the three pillars, which is like Confucianism, Taoism, and Buddhism. So it's like my foodie version of that is how I did that. And like
Wow.
being an East Asian history major kind of helps a little bit.
I love that. I never would have put that together. That's so clever.
Speaking of you being a foodie, so one of my favorite things is an author's website, and yours has an eats section. And you not only just tell us about food you've eaten, you have photos with descriptions and locations. Are you an angel? And what made you want to do that? Because now I have like a bucket list to
Oh
go
my
and try.
gosh. So you're gonna love this. For launch day, I'm going to New York, and my publicist and my editing team suggested that I go on an eating, like an eating tour of Chinatown. So I have to bring my eating pants, and we're gonna
Okay,
be taking video
yes.
and stuff. So it's gonna be like
Listen,
fun.
I was looking at the back of the book, and on the very bottom here, it says influencer focused Chinatown food crawl, and I want to know how to be a part of that because that sounds like absolute heaven. What? That is so unique for like publicity stuff. I love that so much.
So yes, just there's gonna be definitely footage of me eating
Oh
all the
my
things,
gosh.
because
That is
That
so
is so
cool.
cool. So cool.
Because I've made, I don't know if you saw on my social media that I made like little dumplings, stuffed dumplings that would go on as like a bookmark.
Oh, I feel like
So
I
I don't know
remember
if you've
seeing
seen
this.
those.
I feel like I remember seeing this. Yes. So cute.
Oh my God,
I
you're
love that. That is amazing.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, amazing. So one of the other things that we really love, especially with like food in books, wow, I'm having a hard time speaking, is seeing like possible recipes of things that we see in there. Is there any possibility that like you are going to include those in like finished copies or like even as bonus materials at some point?
I did that with my first book, with my debut, the adult book, Natalie Tan's Book of Luck and Fortune. That has recipes in there. So if you want to look, it's there.
I just
Because
like
most of the time, what I find that I do is I go online, I do my, like, I do copious research on which recipe to try, because everybody's like, try this, but this. I check all of the reviews and everything, and then that's what I would cook for my family. I mean, I've got some family recipes, but a lot of it is more try and test
Yeah,
everything out.
That must be terrible for your family, though.
How
Have to just
awful.
try recipes all the time. Oh, no.
How awful. How do they endure?
Do you have a favorite food item? Like if you're like, this is the only thing I could eat for the rest of my days, it's this.
Okay, so if it's an actual ingredient, like I love oysters, and I know for some people it's squicky, but I really, really love oysters. Specifically, one breed of oyster called God, it's really buttery, and it's I can't remember what the heck the name of it is, but I could see it in my head. It's like a Pacific Coast Japanese oyster, and it's tiny, it's plump, it's got such a buttery taste to it that there's no fishiness or thing to it. It's
Anything.
so good. If it was an ingredient, but if it was an actual meal or a dish, I would always choose chirashi, which is a bunch of fresh fish sashimi over a bed of sushi rice in a bowl.
I love
Okay.
that.
I like
Yes.
it. Yeah.
Yes. I'm obsessed.
I
Ugh.
can't do oysters because my dad is deathly allergic and they're like that can run in a
Oh no.
family.
Oh.
So I've never been brave enough
I
because I
love
witnessed an
oysters.
allergic reaction where he almost died. And
Oh
so now I'm
no.
just
Oh
scared. Oh, he's
no.
fine. I was just young. It was
Yeah.
his favorite food. I think his favorite food was shrimp. And we went to eat and somebody walked by with a steaming plate of shellfish and he blew up like a balloon and I was just
Oh
young. And
no.
so it
That's
was like, I
traumatizing.
do that as much as
Well,
I
I mean,
want to.
to be fair, I'm living that right now. I am Asian, therefore lactose intolerant, and
Oh.
yeah. Like
Oh
I
no.
cannot have milk or milkshakes unless I want to be in the bathroom for the next day.
Yeah.
Oh
I'm
no.
like, I have an EpiPen. I could always just try and
Oh no, I
do
risk it. Sometimes I risk it. I risk it for the
it.
cheese. I will eat if it's cheese, I know it will only come out in gas form and it would just destroy everybody around me, but I'll be fine.
Yeah, see? The cheese is worth it. Y'all can go to your
Yeah.
rooms.
So
It's
valid. Like cheese is definitely
I
worth
will risk anything for cheese, okay? Nothing I wouldn't do.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Okay, so we have a few questions that we always ask. They're just like fun, kind of rapid fire, seat of your pants questions. And this is where everything that you have ever read or watched kind of goes out the window, goes right out your head. We have a segment on the podcast that we call Fictional Boyfriend of the Week, where we pick our favorite character that we usually that we read or that we experienced that week. Doesn't have to be a boyfriend. Karen's had a fictional granny, a fictional bestie. I've had a fictional dog, a fictional son. Do you have any all-time favorite characters in books, movies, whatever, where you're like, everybody should know that character?
Okay. Childhood me would say Aladdin from the cartoon.
I call him my first
Adult me.
boyfriend.
It was a toss up between Aladdin or Prince Eric from Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
So, but adult me, I'd have to go with do you know the movie like Austin Land after the book? The one that stars Care. Oh my, you have to watch it.
Okay.
Because it's the leading guy in that is
Austin
what
Land.
who yes, you gotta watch it.
I
It's got
haven't seen
Carrie
it.
Russell in it. The premise is that she pays to go to this retreat. Basically this retreat in England where you go on an estate and you live like a like
Like a Jane
during the
Austen
Victorian.
character.
Yes, during that time. It's like you're living Bridgerton at that time. You get to dress up in period dress, do the activities,
I
have the
want to do
ball and
that.
everything.
Wait, that
So
sounds
this one,
amazing.
it's so funny because it stars Carrie Russell, JJ Field, Brett McKenzie. I think you know who Brett McKenzie is.
It
I need to Google.
sounds
I'm really
he
terrible
is
with
he's in
names.
Flight of the Conchords for one. And
Okay.
two, if you ever have you watched Lord of the Rings?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes,
Oh, okay.
he is the very handsome elf that everybody wants to get to know because he only says one
Yes.
line in the whole entourage. Yes, that's him.
I love that.
Okay. Yeah, I need to watch Austin
That
Land. I can't
sounds
believe I haven't.
Yeah, that sounds right
Because
up
I am
our
a
alley.
diehard
Like,
Pride and Prejudice
love
girly.
that.
Oh
That
my gosh,
sounds.
it's so funny. It's honestly, it's even has like Jane Seymour in it and Jennifer Coolidge,
I'll
who's
watch anything with
hilarious.
Jennifer Coolidge. I will watch
So
anything.
I honestly
Sold,
think
sold,
watch
sold.
this, do like a buddy watch this movie because it's so funny and it's heartwarming and it's perfect.
Oh, I love
Okay.
this. Okay. Adding to the
It's
list.
going on my list, my movie list.
Okay, so kind of related, the other question that we always ask is, we know we love your books and we'll be recommending those. However, we want to know what you are reading and recommending, or like if you have an all-time favorite, anything like that.
One of my all-time favorites is Helen Huang's books, Kiss Quotient,
Yes.
yep, Bride
Yes.
Test,
So
Hard
good.
Principle.
So good.
Yes, that's
Yes.
for like the just for the steamy McSteamy. I
Yes.
really enjoyed
So good.
what else is there? For fantasy, I really enjoyed God Killer by Hannah Kanner.
Oh, yeah, I just read
She
that.
has yeah,
Karen's
she
read
has
it
a
yet?
second, I think the second in the third book's not out yet, but I know the second is definitely out because I bought it.
I
Haven't
think
read it
the
yet.
third one is out because I have it on
Out.
my Libby, and I'm
Okay.
yeah,
So
and
that
they
one
have
I need to get
just
a
come
paper
out.
copy. I definitely need a paperback of I have to wait for that to
Oh,
because I like
yeah.
them looking all the same.
Me too. I'm so
That's
neurotic
how
with
she
my
is.
books. I'm
Yeah.
like, if I get one in hardback, like everything else I get from that author has to be in hardback. Like, not even the same series. It has to be everything from the author has to be the
It
same
is. It's
format.
just is it it's like your brain is happier when it all looks the same, or if you get like a special edition of one, you gotta get the rest of them because
Yep.
they're like a
Yep.
family and you don't
Yes.
want to separate the family.
See, you get
Karen
me.
gets upset because I have some that are like just willy-nilly.
Yes. There. She used to. I think you rearranged your
I
books,
think
but
it's better now, yeah.
she used to, on her bookshelf behind her, she would have one series, and I think it was Serpent and Dove, where one series, like the first two were in paperback and the
Oh
last
yeah.
one was in hardback, and I had to like not look at that corner of her bookshelf because it stressed me out. I'm like, no, they have to match. What are you
It's
doing?
because I would buy two paperback and then it would be like the third one's out and I really want to read it, but I don't want to, have to buy the ebook and I don't want to wait for Libby, so I would just buy the hardcover. Or I can blame my husband. I'll put things on my Amazon wish list so I don't forget that I want to read them, and then he'll go in and buy them. And so it's like,
Oh,
oh, it's very he's
it's
very
he's
sweet.
very sweet.
Yeah. So I'll have a
Yeah.
hodgepodge. I just think it looks like a real library. Like
I
real libraries have,
no, I just want my library
chaos.
just needs to match. That's I can't look at it. Don't make me look at it.
I mean, I've seen a shelf before, and I think it went viral of somebody who had their library up, like bookshelves, but everything is spines in.
No.
And
No.
I
I
all of
hate
those
it.
pages are not special editions, so they're
Oh
just
no.
all like white
No, I hate
pages,
it.
like are off
No.
white pages.
No, thank
Yeah,
you.
I'll put like on this is like I'm in my library, but I have some shelves downstairs where I'll put like the really pretty special editions facing out
Yeah.
just as like a talking, like, oh, look at that. What is this? Explain it. And I'll tell them
Yeah.
about all the books. Just white edges?
Yeah,
Boring.
it's just white. And the whole thing,
Boring.
it's so you don't really know what book you're picking up until you
Oh.
pull it out and you see the cover.
No,
I don't
don't
like it.
like it.
I
That's
don't like what that
wild.
does to my
That's
stomach.
chaos. Yeah.
Yes.
Nah, that feels.
Yeah.
That makes my skin feel funny.
See, my mismatched paper and hardbacks are not that bad.
There's something worse.
Okay, we don't want to keep you too much longer, but we do have to know what comes next.
I have an adult speculative that I'm working on, and the comp titles that I have for you is basically it's Once Upon a Time, that like the TV show meets like Big Fish. So it's set in contemporary, so it's got kind of like that it will have, like you said, Karen, like that cozy feel to it.
Oh. I'm so
So
excited.
Big Fish will get my husband to read it even.
This
Like if you comp
sounds
something to Big Fish, he's like sold.
Yep.
I love
Because
this.
that is, oh, that's going to be so good. And he loved Once Upon a Time too.
That sounds like, yeah,
And if you can get
obviously.
that man to read a book,
Then you won, because that
the
man
book
does
is
not
really
read very
good.
much.
No. So, wow.
Oh, that's so
Do you
exciting.
have like, do you know a ballpark of when we could expect get to enjoy that, or is it still kind of in the early stages?
It's still in the it needs to be sold stage, because I'm at a point in my career now where my contracts are starting to, and then I have to
Start again. Like,
Right.
you know
Yeah.
how, yes, like an author is like, you get your contracts, you got deadlines, and then afterwards you start over again, the same cycle.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we're
Oh,
manifesting
I
that that
am.
gets sold because we need to read it. Like,
And because
we
Karen
must.
has bad news to
I
deliver
do have a
too.
little bit of bad news to tell you. Now that you have been on the podcast, you're actually legally obligated to come back for all future book releases. So sorry, not
We're gonna have
sorry.
to talk about Once Upon a Time meets Big Fish.
Yes, I need it.
I'll
I
bring
need
food. I will bring food the next
it.
time.
Wait, even better.
What we need to do is just send us the recipe beforehand and we can all be eating the same food at the
I
same
love
time.
this. Yes, I'm here for
Yes.
this. Okay, I cannot let you go without asking, because I am a Bay Area girl, born and bred. So your book is being published under Sweet July, which is Ayesha Curry's imprint. What have you had any sort of like conversations with her or anybody else kind of at the imprint, and what kind of was the, I don't really
I'm
know
talking
much.
to her tomorrow. I'm talking to her tomorrow. That's one.
I
And
love.
two, you're in the Bay Area. We have an
Yes.
event there in San Francisco at Green Apple Books
Well done.
on June 25th. I have an event with Aisha
I'm
there.
going. I'll be there. I'll see you there. I
But
say less. I don't
yeah,
know what
June 25th,
I don't know what
June
I'm doing that
25th,
day, but
Green
it's
Apple
canceled.
Books at the park. That
Oh my
location.
gosh. I love this.
Okay, if I see you there, I will save you a dumpling bookmark
I will
to
be
give to
there.
you in
I
person.
whatever, I don't care what's happening that day. I'm canceling it. I'm going to this event. That is so cool. Like I'm always like so fascinated by like, especially like when it's celebrities who are starting imprints or book clubs or things like that, and I'm like, how cool is that for the author to get to be a part of something like that as well,
It
because
is
it
like
gets in
I
front of so
she's
many people.
yeah that and she's like originally from Toronto where I'm from, so I'm like the Toronto connection is there, so
Yes.
that's pretty cool.
That's so cool. Oh, I'm so excited for you. I really just we when this book came across our like our email, I was like, give me it right now, because first of all, look how pretty it is.
I
Oh,
cannot
you'll
get over
love
the cover.
I'm
The finished
obsessed.
copies are behind me.
Oh, I can't wait for
They
to grab
have
a finished
a like
copy.
a kind of a foil shiny. You'll like it.
Oh, I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed. It's
I can
so
I
pretty.
can't imagine anything being more beautiful than this, but then sh
Let
like
me
adding
get, it's right
shimmer.
behind me.
Oh my gosh. I'm so like, this sells it in and of itself. But then, like,
Yeah, look at it. Oh, it's
oh, it's so
gorgeous.
pretty. Oh, I love it.
So
Yes.
that is
That is so
beautiful.
exciting. All right. Well, everybody who is listening, when you hear this, the book is out, so you can run to the bookstore, get yourself a very shiny, pretty copy of this very pretty book. The words inside are also excellent, so that's the important part. But the artwork, packaging it, is also beautiful. Thank you so much, Roselle, for being here. This has been so much fun. We're so
We've
excited
had a
for
blast.
this to go
Yes, I
out
had
into the
so much
world,
fun.
and we're so excited for whatever comes next. My gosh.
Thank you. So, yes, when you watch Austin Land, let me know what you think.
We
Oh, we
will,
will.
absolutely.
Absolutely. Yay. Thank you. Thank you so much. We will talk to you soon, hopefully.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank
Thank you.
you.
Bye.
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 I love her.
She's so cute. I
So
love
cute. She's so
her.
cute. Oh my gosh. I love her. The way she speaks is just so like, it's calming, so
Soothing.
soothing.
Yes.
So like,
No
she.
wonder she wrote a cozy but still like adventurous book.
Yes, like my God, but it's so comforting. Like I feel so cozy. I feel comforted. Like, oh, I love her. I love her. So yay, that was
Rosa Lim,
so
everybody.
heck yes. Okay, is it time for announcements? Is that where we're at?
Look at us go, yeah.
Oh, it's the last announcement before summer break. Okay, so first announcement is that we are going on summer break. We are peacing out for like 2 months ish, to kind of feel better, recharge,
Relax and reset and
relax,
recharge.
reset.
And
Mandy having a birthday, all good
I'm
stuff.
getting older.
Don't say it like that.
Look, I have to sidebar. This thing is, he was just sitting down here, just staring at me so lovingly. And I'm like,
Oh,
love him
sweet
so much.
baby.
Oh, I
Oh,
love him so
he's so
much.
precious. All right.
Yeah, so we'll be on break,
We will be on break,
but the
but
podcast will break up the break a little.
we do have an interview that we'll be releasing end of June. I believe June 27th is the date. And that's because we got to talk to Sarah Adler about Finders Keepers.
It on my desk. Oops.
It's very exciting. This comes out end of June, I believe the 20, I want to say like 23rd. I could be wrong, but 26 is
Soon.
Friday. 26, 25, 24, 23. Yeah. Look it, I can do math.
You go.
So, Finders Keepers by Sarah Adler is out on June 23rd. Our interview with Sarah comes out Friday, June 26th, 27th. Damn it! Now I've forgotten.
A day in June, you'll be
The end of June,
surprised.
the last Friday in June is when our interview comes out, and it's about this book. And it's so much fun.
Mine's
And that is what we have for you before we abandon you for several weeks.
my
We're not sorry. We're
desk.
just tired.
Bye, nerd.
We're so
No,
sleepy.
we're tired. I
We're
need a nap.
so sleepy.
We're
So,
sleepy.
we're sleepy bitches. Okay? Let us sleep a little bit.
Yes.
We love you. We love doing this, but we're
We're gonna do a
sleepy.
spiel and then we're gonna go on vacation.
Yes. It, you know that feeling? You all know it. When you turn on your out of office, it's that. We just need a
Yeah.
little refresher, and then we'll be back and have very exciting stuff happening. Like,
Yeah.
yeah. I was just thinking about the first episode back, and I'm like, tee
I forgot what it is already.
hee.
I'll look at the schedule when we're not recording.
It's,
There
I'm just
may,
like,
we haven't really talked about it, but there may even be the possibility of some guest hosts because I'm very likely going to be in Romania for some
oh,
of
yes.
the fall season.
Oh, yes. She's going to go to my husband's ancestral homeland.
Yes, I'm going to see Sebastian's people, and we're gonna say I'm gonna go because my dogs are gonna be healthy because
Yes, they are.
that was my caveat.
Yes.
There's going to be a Halloween party at Dracula's castle that I will be going to. So
So fun. So fun.
insane.
Very cool. All
That's
right.
fall. I don't know why we were talking about that, but exciting things for the
Because
next season when we come back refreshed.
announcements. We can say whatever we want. We can announce whatever we want. It's
Hey, dog, stop eating that pillow. If anybody wants a puppy, come get
podcast.
him.
Oh no. You would never. You would
I
never.
might put this one in the
No, you would never. Not that sweet bougie.
All right, let's do a spiel so I can find something more enriching for him that's
You can
not a
save
pillow.
the
Yeah, with a it's got a tassel on the end of it that he's currently chewing up.
Oh boy. All right,
Yeah.
friends. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you're listening to us. Follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. Head to the website, theincoherentfangirl.com, where you can also stream all of the episodes as well as read our blog. Subscribe to our Patreon for early access to podcast episodes, full video episodes, and bonus content. I forgot what I was going to say halfway. Could you tell?
You forgot your line.
It's literally written right in front of me, but it's fine. No big deal. If you but would like to shop our merch store, because there's lots of cute stuff there, head to theincoherentfangirl.com/shop to do that. Lots of cute stuff there. And if you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas you want to tell us that we're pretty,
or that my dogs are crazy,
or just fawn over how cute the dogs are.
Oh, where'd you get down?
I don't know if you could see his crazy eyes while you're holding his. Those were some crazy eyes.
He does not like to be bothered by a younger sibling. That's one thing he hates.
Oh my goodness. Well, just if you want to tell Georgie to chill a little bit, you can send us
or
an
that
email.
He's the cutest.
He is also the cutest, but also could you, those were some crazy eyes. Listen,
those you're were welcome, some Patreon.
Crazy eyes. Send us an email, theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all. And of course, one last way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Please give us your words. You know we love words. They're kind of our bread and butter.
Yeah, they're kind of our thing here.
Yeah, just a little bit. She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And once you've followed us on social media and you follow the podcast on social media, you can head over and visit our internet besties, because they're the best and you deserve some self-care in the form of retail therapy. I just saw on social media today, I believe it was Jasmine Guillory, who was talking about how she was having a bad day, and then a package arrived of stuff that she had purchased, and her day got better. So retail therapy works.
Yeah, okay? It works. Hello, so, serotonin.
Go take care of yourselves by visiting our friends. First stop is going to be our friends over at Here Comes the Nerd. At herecomesthenerd.com, you're going to use code FANGIRL to get 20% off your first order.
Then you're going to head to onceuponabookclub.com. You can subscribe. You can get some like boxes they have in stock, standalone goodies. We have two codes. They do not stack. We love you no matter which one you choose. You can use either code Karen10 or Mandy10 for 10% off. But if you don't spell Karen right, I'm going to put you between George Bailey and Poochie and let you figure that out.
Oh, boy. Yeah, they're vicious, y'all.
Good luck, Hoss.
Good luck. And next up, you're going to visit our friend Amber D. Lewis at amberdlewis.com. You're going to add 10 of everything to your cart. Then you're going to use code FANGIRL10 and you'll get 10% off the 10 of everything, which means mathematically you've gotten one of everything for free. You're so welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
I mean, hello.
We did use.
Yes. And then last but not least, you're going to go support the show husband. So you're going to follow at Searchers Believe on all of the things. That's his paranormal investigation crew. You're going to follow at Searchers Podcast on all the things. That's the podcast for Searchers. And if you go to searchersbelieve.com/shop, you can use code FANGIRL10 for 10% off of all of the merch designed by moi. And then you're going to want to follow at Stream Beacon TV on everything. So Beacon is our new streaming platform that's going to have paranormal, horror, true crime content that is... It's got some really exciting things coming down the pipeline. And if you go to streambeacontv.com and sign up for a subscription, if you use code FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off. It's already less than a cup of coffee a month, but FANGIRL10 gets it even a little cheaper. So,
yay!
Yeah. Yay, show husband.
Yay, show husband. I mean, we have to support the show husband so that you can continue getting more surprise books.
Exactly.
Exactly. So that exactly. We keep doing the thing. That's definitely how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. All right. That was the first half of the Incoherent for this year.
We'll see you nerds in August.
Yeah. We love you. Thank you so much for listening.
We love you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.